Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Ryan Snyder from On3.com. Welcome, Ryan. Great to see you and your family out there the other night.
Yeah, I forgot it was Coach's Show night. I just wanted a burger, and I realized, oh, no, it's packed. So we hung out and waited. It was good seeing you and Coach Shrewsbury and everybody else out there. The field's awesome. Recommend to anybody.
Yeah, it really is. Ryan, it's interesting. We're in a world of video all the time, but I still think, to me personally, maybe it's the old-fashioned part of me, I'm still a big believer in seeing something with my own eyes. How many of these prospects did you actually get out to see with your own eyes that Penn State's about to sign?
Okay, so let me think here. I did 33 of the past 40-some weekends on the road to some sort of camp or games. Okay, so I would say probably, oh, man, there's so many guys down south. I would say at least, I mean, all the guys in the region, everybody in Pennsylvania, Drew Aller out in Ohio, Denai Dennis Sutton down in Maryland. So probably 60, maybe a little over 70%, something like that.
All right.
But, yeah, I've been busy.
All right, so now there's a lot of people that rank prospects. When you actually were able to see some of these guys in person, did it really match up with what you were being told about them?
Of course. Well, yeah, I would say so. I mean, definitely with those top guys.
Yes,
Drew Aller,
right.
From Nick Singleton to Denai Dennis Sutton. There's no doubt that those guys deserve to be where they are. You know, Drew Aller's rise is incredible. Can't remember the last time I saw a three-star, you know, quality offers probably leaning towards Iowa State. And that's back in, what is it, you know, beginning of the year, you know, rise to where he is. And it's all just a testament to the work he has put in. You know, we saw him in multiple camps this year, and he was good in the spring, and he got better at the Elite 11. And then he translates that into an incredible season with 4,000 plus yards passing and, you know, all the accolades that fans know well now. And, you know, I definitely saw that progression throughout the year. Denai Dennis Sutton was hurt a little bit, of course, with his elbow surgery. But, man, when he finally got healed in the second half of the year, you know, he was excellent. I mean, causing, I think he had, it was about 20 or so quarterback hurries in, I don't know, five or so games, which is an excellent number. And Nick Singleton, I think anybody in Pennsylvania would know when you look at his stats, 6,000-plus yards rushing and 113 touchdowns, I want to say, over the course of his career. And, of course, 2,000 of those and 40-plus touchdowns came just this season alone. I mean, when you look at his physical stature from his size to his vision to his speed, there is nothing there that you can really pick apart. I mean, he absolutely deserves to be the number one quarterback or number one running back. I can't pretend I saw all the quarterbacks out there, but from what I saw from Drew Aller, it's hard to argue there's somebody better. So when it comes to the top of this class, man, those guys certainly checked out. And, you know, a bunch of those, you know, four-star guys throughout the class certainly impressed me throughout the season as well.
All right. If I recall, he was somebody that actually had played other positions before being a quarterback. Is that correct?
Yeah. So you're talking about Drew. Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe, oh, man. You put me on the spot here, Steve. Yes, he did as a freshman. I can't remember what it was. He I know he split time as a freshman. He actually wasn't, put it this way, this guy's rise is so impressive. He wasn't even the freshman. Not only was he not the freshman varsity starter as a freshman, he actually split time as the freshman team starter, okay? Like all the way back, you know, in his freshman year, of course. So, I mean, his rise is incredible. I forget his position, Steve. You're putting me on the spot, and I apologize. I want to say he was maybe a safety, but I can't remember exactly. But I will say, though, that once Drew, you know, became the starting quarterback his sophomore year, I mean, that was everything. I mean, I will say with Bo Pribula was absolutely a safety his freshman year,
mm-hmm.
and then he became the starting quarterback at Central York, and it was a similar fashion. But Bo Pribula actually played safety all throughout his junior year too, and then his coach didn't play him too much as a senior. And in those key games, he threw him back there a bit, but of course he wanted to limit any injuries, things like that.
He always wanted to come to Penn State, didn't he? I mean, since he was a little kid.
Oh yeah, his mom sent me all the photos when he committed. I mean, he's been coming up to games his whole life. He's Penn State through and through. I wish I had the photo on me right now of his little uniform. Actually, I'm going to try and get that in the signing day. Thanks for the reminder tomorrow. I'm going to try and get that into some of our some of our stories tomorrow too. But yeah, Bo's been coming up here. Man, I think it was 7-8 years old. I believe that was what his mom told me. And not coming to games every year or anything like that. But sure. Penn State through and through throughout his whole childhood.
I might know a little more than I let on. How about that?
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. I might know a little more than I let on. All right. The positional balance of this group, and I'm talking about, like, you take a look at the roster all the time. How does the positional balance of this group fit with the rest of the roster?
Yeah, it's pretty good. I mean, there's always spots you'd like to add on, especially if you can. But with the transfer portal, it's so hard. You're especially down the stretch, you're weighing top high school prospects against the film you're seeing from college prospects, and you got to set an incredibly high bar, right? I mean, mm-hmm. you can't just take someone, especially when you're watching, a top offensive lineman, we'll say, from a group of five who played well. So, if I would point to one spot that I think they really wanted to add, it was definitely offensive tackle. They pushed hard down the stretch to try and flip a few guys. Ty Chan, who's committed to Notre Dame, they worked hard on. Emil Wagner, of course, committed to Notre Dame. Penn State fans should recognize him. He just committed a few weeks ago. They worked hard on. So that's a spot, that I think they would like to have added. There were some quality defensive tackles that I think that they, Derek Moore, for example, at St. Francis was someone they really pushed hard for. And look, whenever you're in the mix with an elite defensive tackle, you got to push no matter what your scholarship said you need to do. But adding, five wide receivers, that was clearly a position that they felt they really needed to add on, and they will. I'm including Christian Driver in that, of course, who could play potentially safety or wide receiver. Speaking of safety, too, that's really an important spot. We'll see where Driver ends up, but, we know KJ Winston will play there. I expect Mekhi Flowers to start there. Penn State's had a few guys leave in recent months, and that'll be a spot that they definitely want to add reinforcements, and they have. Tyrese Mills is expected to come in after finishing classes. Of course, he has to still another semester at Lackawanna, but he's expected to be here in the summer, and he'll come in and be sophomore right away. Yeah, because junior college guys last year didn't count for them. So I mean, I think it's pretty good. Two quality running backs. Like I said, if they could add a spot, I think they'd like to add an offensive tackle. But aside from that, can't pick too many holes.
Ryan, in the time that you have been doing this, where you have been locked in on the recruiting part, where do you think this class is compared to some other classes Penn State's had based on just the groups that you've watched over the recent years?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's always funny. I get that. And it's hard now to say where it ranked, just because I've seen, the previous classes come through, right?
So you know what the result actually was.
Exactly, yeah. Right. So it's always one of those things where, if you asked me back in 2018, I thought that was the greatest class ever. And don't get me wrong, it was very good. But then, of course, there were some guys who missed, and, it just changes your perspective. But, we think the rankings are pretty fair when you look at all the sites, Rivals, 247, ESPN, and On3. And I do think, looking back, especially at the players we were projecting, I don't see any holes and maybe some of them didn't pan out, but I completely understood at the time why that player was as coveted as he was. So right now we have this as the second best class since Franklin took over, and I really can't put too many holes in that. I will say that, the top of this class is pretty good, and, a couple of the guys in that 2018 class didn't pan out. So you would think maybe this has the potential to be the best class under Franklin, but if you ask me that question in December 14, 2024, I can give you kind of a different answer. But I would say, especially over the last 3 years, if you look at the On3 rankings, Penn State's had now three top 10 classes in the last 5 years. And that's very, very important. If they can continue to build on that, of course, that's even better. But there's always just a solid group of four-star players. That has always been there. They always get, top 300 guys. It's all about getting those guys at the very top that have been hit and miss in times. And sometimes that's not their fault. I mean, Pennsylvania was just down in 2019, and they had to go national. And, yes, they can do national, but, it's just when you're recruiting against Alabama, Clemson, Georgia, and Ohio State, it's hard. So I think I think this definitely should be considered the second best class under Franklin, and it has all the potential to be the best as we see how guys develop.
So let's take another element to it. What has the transfer portal added to your job?
Ooh, stress. Is that a good place to answer?
Yeah.
Start with stress.
No, that, no, exactly. No, the amount of work that is put into it when you think you have a chance to breathe, you can't.
Yeah. Yeah. No, certainly not. I'll say this. I think, you know, there was some talk last week about switching up the recruiting calendar. Steve, did you see that article?
I did.
I believe it was by Adam Rittenberg, I want to say.
Adam Rittenberg. Yep.
Yeah. And I would definitely agree with that mindset, which is basically, you know, what we see now. First off, we'd eliminate the early signing period. And I think you just go back to the normal signing period in February, and that would be it. And the thought there is, you can maybe still have the contact period, which is what we just saw, 2 weeks, coaches on the road constantly. But allowing them to sort out their outgoings and their incomings for transfers would be a massive, massive boost on relieving stress for coaches, and maybe myself a little bit, but I can't complain. The coaches are the ones with the real stress. And then, you know, that then you can really, you know, put your efforts into high school players, of course, in January. So I do think that is a very wise move, just because, again, you know, Penn State's going to sign 25 players tomorrow, and that's going to be a good thing. And, you know, they're very happy with that. But you're going to have outgoings over the next 6 weeks. And you know, there's going to be, what, maybe 15% of the talent pool left. And that's going to make it incredibly difficult to hit those guys. And, you know, if you want to fill with high school talent instead of college guys. And of course, you know, the guys who are going in the portal, they're going in the portal for a reason, right? I mean, they're not the true all-star kind of player that Penn State wants. Yes, they found an Arvelo Bacchetti last year, but that's not going to happen every year. So it's definitely stressful when you have to watch, what are we at? I mean, I think, what, 400 plus guys. And yeah, we know key positions, and right. You know, you can look at PFF data to tell who's really who, but it's definitely difficult to follow, especially because these guys don't want to talk. You know, they're past the recruiting process. The last thing they want to do is pick up for Ryan Snyder. So we'll see.
So now let's dovetail to the next one. Obviously, I've asked you about 2023 before. I know internally there are a couple of people internally that, as much as they love this class, they think they got a shot at even better in 2023. Do they?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that defensively, that 2023 class is so impressive. That's where I really think next year could be a heck of a haul defensively, especially in the region that's just stacked with linebackers and quality prospects. So that'll be something to watch. I would say Pennsylvania this year was a little bit higher than what PA is next year, but both classes are very good, especially when you look back to like times like 2019, 2020, where Pennsylvania was down a little bit. And whenever you have a good Pennsylvania class, it's a major boost to Penn State, of course. I think all fans would probably understand that. So I think that with the way they have started and how aggressive they were in June and you know, especially at the end of July with the Lash Bash, I mean, they have an awesome net cast, I guess you would say, of elite talent, guys who have been here 2, 3, 4 times. And that's so important. I mean, I could probably rattle off 40-plus kids who are, you know, if they're not a 4-star, they deserve another look as a 4-star, who have been to Penn State multiple times now. So that's a very good place to start. Quarterback will be a very interesting position because it's down a bit in next year. I wouldn't say maybe down a bit. It's the talent is very spread out. I mean, maybe they're arguably their top two quarterback prospects. One's in Detroit and Dante Moore, and the other one's all the way out in California. That position, but again, man, I'll really come back to defensively. I think next year's class could be really good, and you know, we'll see how it plays out. But they've done an excellent job, you know, at getting off to an early start. It helps when you get 12 kids to commit in 41 days in June and July.
What did the presence of Mike Yurcich mean, especially in the quarterback recruiting, and what has been the reaction to Manny Diaz?
Yeah, Drew Aller's not here without Mike Yurcich. I mean, that's point blank, you know, the best way to put it. So that's incredible, and that's very positive. I mean, I think Yurcich is a major reason why Penn State's in a good position with Jaden Rashada, who, again, you know, we're talking about a kid from California who flew out to Penn State not once but twice on his own dime, you know, to come here in the summer and then again for the whiteout game against Auburn. So that's I don't want to say all because of Yurcich, because they do an awesome job recruiting as a staff, but you know, he's certainly the main reason for that. Sutton, who talked to me in a week from now, and I'll have a much better
recruiting, but to Penn State football,
monsters. I mean, it's state college, so you know it's not. It was difficult for Penn State to get guys to come up here and visit on their own. You know, I can go back and look at a dozen or so guys that made it, and I can point maybe 30, 40-plus guys who visited Maryland because they live in the Baltimore region. You know what I mean? So that was huge, you know, knowing that, hey, if you're going to come all the way up here for a visit, you're not going to just walk around yourself. You're going to get quality time with the coaching staff. And also, that's James Franklin's strength. One-on-one, me and you, you know, with parents or coaches, of course, that's where James really excels in recruiting. He's so hands-on with these guys when they come to campus. I think it's always one of the first things that the players tell me is, hey, I was coming up to hang out with Phil Troutwine or Terry Smith or whomever, and I didn't realize I was going to spend 2-3 hours with James Franklin too. So, you know, just that's always been his strength. That will always be his strength. And, you know, getting guys here was a huge part of it. And then there's one last thing too. It's just they work so incredibly hard. I mean, I think they had guys here in June all but 3 days in that 27-day period. I can't pretend I watched everything in Ohio State and Maryland and Rutgers and all the regional schools, but I'd be surprised if they had as many guys getting up here especially for those weekday visits, you know, at random times for those one-on-one kind of visits as much as Penn State did. So they're just incredibly committed to it. They did a great job then with camps too. Over, I think it was 1,400 guys camped, and you know, I think about 300 of them were already Division I prospects or become, you know, Division I prospects with offers. So just incredibly aggressive, and you know, when they get guys here, they know how to sell. So that's the best way to put it.
Ryan, thank you so much for your time. I know how busy you are, and appreciate you very much.
Oh, can't wait to see you at the field again. I'll be out next Thursday. Let's do it.
Sounds great. Thanks so much, Ryan.
See you, Steve. Take care.